I'm going to give you a phrase from a 60s television show. If you know the show, raise your hand, okay? Danger, Will Robinson, danger. So quite a few know that. Lost in Space. You know, at the end of every episode, there was something dangerous happening and it would say, to be continued. I remember watching it every week. If we hang around with Jesus, we're in danger. He's a dangerous man. In fact, one writer put it this way, focusing on today's gospel, Jesus intruded himself into the life of Peter and Andrew, James and John. He intruded. He just comes along. And he says to Peter, now it says he asked him to put out into water so he could teach the people. Well, he must have had some kind of aura, whatever, so that Peter didn't say, oh no, I can't do that. He got in, he moved the boat so Jesus could teach the people. And then after that, he says to them, here's that intrusion again, okay, put out into deep water. Here's a stranger coming along. He's intruding in the lives of these people. And as we know, he's introducing them to situations throughout his life that are dangerous. God is dangerous. Jesus was dangerous. He intrudes himself into our lives as well. He doesn't ask permission. He gets right in there. And if we're baptized, boy, that's a big intrusion. That's a big dangerous sacrament because it conforms us, it configures us to Jesus, who lived a dangerous life because he preached the truth. And then, of course, we have Paul, too, perfect example of someone who underwent a dangerous situation. Jesus intruded in his life, and he appeared to him, and he got thrown to the ground. He became blind. Well, if that's not an intrusion or a dangerous thing, I don't know what is. Jesus did not say to Paul, Paul, can I convert you? Can I turn you away from what you're doing now? No, he just got right in there and he did it. God doesn't ask our permission. Now, he doesn't coerce us. He doesn't make us do his will. But that doesn't mean he holds back, that he's not dangerous, that he's not intrusive. He's everywhere. He's always in our lives. Do we realize that? Do we see our faith as a dangerous journey? And it is. Now, doesn't mean it has to be fearful. Doesn't mean we have to be shaking about it. But we have to open our eyes because as we see Jesus living his life, as we see the apostles, as we see the saints through history living their lives, they didn't have an easy go of it. It was dangerous to follow the Lord. Is it dangerous today? Have we domesticated God? So God's kind of a warm fuzzy, don't have to worry about anything. And anything goes, if I think it's right, it should be right and true. Or do we have a little bit of trembling in there? Because what do we say? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of faith. Do we have a little trembling in our lives when it comes to God? Because with God, it's all or nothing. You remember the musical Oklahoma? One of the characters says to Ado Annie, with me, it's all or nothing. It's the same with God. It's all or nothing. We can't walk this middle ground thinking, well, as long as I keep steady and don't do anything really bad, all will work out. That's not what the scriptures say. And there was another person, I never could quite track it down, who said it, but someone referred to the sacrament of the Mass, the Eucharist, as the dangerous sacrament. Isn't that interesting? The dangerous sacrament. The idea is we dare to come here in the midst of heaven, all the angels and saints are here, and do our little bit, thinking, oh, aren't I a good person because I came to Mass, when there's much, much more demanded. One writer, contemporary writer, said, you know, we Christians don't know what we're doing. We're like children playing with TNT on the floor. That's what the Mass is like. We're playing with dynamite. We don't get it. And the author says, instead of worrying about beautiful hats and nice outfits, we should all be given crash helmets. We should all be given life preservers. And we should be lashed to the pews. If we really knew what this sacrament, this dangerous sacrament, is all about, if we really knew the danger of being a Christian. But again, in this country in particular, we're very comfortable. You know, we have our homes, we have our activities, we have our cars, we can go out to dinner, and we sort of get into that mode, well, God, you're blessing me, and I'm going to enjoy it, as opposed to, why are you blessing me, God? What's the hook? And the hook, of course, is saying, I'm blessing you so you can be a blessing to other people, so you can bless other people. You got a lot of money? That's not yours, it's mine. Give it. Give it to this person, that person. Help out. Time and talent, that doesn't belong to you, belongs to me. Use it for the building up of the kingdom of God. So for us, it's dangerous to go through our faith in kind of a mindless way, because that's not the way of God. He's very mindful about what he wants of us. He says, love God, love your neighbor as yourself, carry your cross. That's not comfortable. That's dangerous. That's an intrusion into our lives that comes through baptism. But we're supposed to shake off that stupor, that kind of, oh, I'm comfortable, I'm lazy, I don't want to do this, and say, I don't have time to be lazy or comfortable. The gospel, some people says, comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. Are we afflicted by the gospel? Are we afflicted by this dangerous book that has everything? And of course, Catholics always say this, it's kind of a default for us. Oh, but who am I to do X, Y, and Z? Who am I to stand up and talk about God? Who am I? I don't. And that's what Isaiah said, and Peter said that too. He says, I'm a sinful man, God. But Jesus said, that's okay, just follow me. And Isaiah, what did God do for him? The angel brought the hot coal, touched his mouth to purify him, and says, all your sins are gone. So no excuses, no excuses. Get out there and preach the gospel. Do what you have to do as a prophet. And that's what Jesus says to us as well, to get off our butts, to get out into the world, find out who all these neighbors are that we have. What is their story? What do they need? What do they lack? What are their wounds? Because as children of God, we have been given great powers, great gifts from God, and authority from God to heal, to feed, to gather people together in worship, to guide people to the Lord. We all have charisms from the Holy Spirit. Do we know what they are? Well, we all have them. Very specific. For some, it may be teaching. That's a charism. Teaching the Word of God. A wonderful charism. Another one might be healing. I'm talking not just about spiritual healing, but physical healing. That's a great charism. Anyone here have it? If you don't know, maybe if you think maybe you do, what are you going to do to find out about it if you really have it? Because it's dangerous not to get more and more involved with God. It's dangerous to go our own way, to be comfortable and do what is easy for us, so what comes comfortably to us each day. We're supposed to be shaking ourselves up. God does it, but again, do we really hear God shaking us up? That's why we have scripture read at Mass, to remember, oh, this happened to Peter and Andrew, James and John. Couldn't have been easy for them to drop everything and follow Jesus. Happened to Isaiah, couldn't have been easy for him. Paul says it's tough, it's hard, but he wouldn't have it any other way. Do we say the same thing? Yes, God is dangerous to follow in faith the Lord of heaven and earth. It is dangerous, but it's also glorious. And if we follow him faithfully, it leads us to the greatest of glories, heaven, where we will be one with God and all the angels and saints, and we'll look back at life, and no matter what we experienced, no matter what we suffered, we're going to say, that was nothing, nothing compared to the glory of heaven. So, if anything, maybe we need to ask God to disturb us a little bit, to get into our bodies and our minds, and to get a little fear in us, to help us realize that God is all or nothing, and he does constantly come into our lives. He's always with us. And to make us a little bit annoyed, a little bit upset, a little bit fearful, so that we can go deeper into our faith and say, yeah, this is difficult, but Lord, I don't want it any other way, because I want you. I want you for all eternity. So it's not a bad thing to be afraid, be fearful of the Lord, to realize he is dangerous the more we follow him, but that also, really, it's the only way to go. It is. There is no other religion, other belief system in the world that really brings it all together very clearly, if difficultly and dangerously, but it's our Christian faith. So as you go forth today, put it any way you want to the Lord. Say, Lord, you know, stir me up a little bit. And incidentally, you give God permission for that, and you have to. He won't do it otherwise. Well, he may. But, you know, say, okay, God, you have my permission to make me uncomfortable. Can you imagine doing that as a prayer? He'll do it. He'll do it. But think of the graces that will come from that, because it'll help us see things differently. It'll help us commit more completely to the faith so that we'll actually look forward to these dangerous situations, because we know God has our back, and no matter what happens, we can do what we're called to do as his faithful children. So take a chance on God. Not really taking a chance. God always comes through. But say, okay, God, you got my permission. And if you don't want to go right to God and tell your guardian angel, guardian angel, go to God and tell him he has my permission to make me uncomfortable, and see what happens. See how the Lord responds and how it helps us to grow in our faith, deepen our faith, so that we can really be on fire and courageous, just to be like Peter, to be like Paul, to be like Isaiah, people who know that this is what we have to do, we're going to do it, and we go out and do it, not just for our sakes, but for the sake of the world.